You know, I'd like to share something with you. I run into so many people that they're not really able to trust the Lord because they're spiritually crippled. And they have rejection. They have fear. They have condemnation. These spirits can make war on you to where you won't have any confidence towards God. And of course, you won't be able to trust Him for the days that are coming. You know, if you walk by sight, you're going to be shaken. I mean, it's good that we have warning, because then it's not a sudden impact upon you. It's good that the Lord is warning you and you understand these things are coming. You can think them out. You can pray to God for your future. That's one good thing about warning, is you can pray up that hedge of protection around you and your family. You can ask the Lord, do you want me here, Lord? Am I supposed to be in this big city, Lord? You know, these kind of things. And you can get prepared in those ways to make sure that you are cooperating with God, that you are studying up on Psalm 91, the secret place of the Most High, and learning to abide in Jesus Christ and all those things. You know. Well, how do we abide in Jesus Christ? Well, we have to do it by faith. There's no other way for you to enter into Jesus Christ than the way that He has made for us, which is by faith. And like I said, many people are crippled by spirits of rejection or fear of rejection or fear or condemnation or many other things. People are crippled. And it sometimes causes a person to have the wrong relationship with the Lord. If you've got the wrong relationship with the Lord, it's not a grace relationship. You're worried about your past failures. You feel that God has rejected you, or you're not bold towards God because of your failures. Then you don't have the right relationship with the Lord. Everybody's got failures, but everybody doesn't deal with them the same way. And our understanding of our relationship with the Lord needs to be rock solid in the Word of God, so that we understand grace and why God does things for us, and why God justifies us. Without just being justified by the Lord, you're not going to be bold in your faith that God will meet your every need according to His riches and glory. You don't understand that. So I thought I would just share a little bit with you, you know, concerning this, and maybe start in Romans chapter 3. And first of all, Paul speaks about, from verse 9 on down, that we are all failures. If you think you failed that much more than the next guy, maybe you're not quite as as wrong as you think, or as right as you think, depending upon how you look at it. But, you know, we've all miserably failed, you know, the Lord. And we'll never be anything but a failure if we're not justified by faith and receive His power through that justification. You'll never be anything but a failure. And in verse 9 it says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we before laid to the charge both of Jews and of Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They have all turned aside. They have all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulcher." In other words, nothing but death comes out of it. Do you know that when you speak according to the Word, that you're speaking death? You know, life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? "With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Wow, he's just described the church. You know? "Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it speaketh to them that are under the law. Notice it, it uses the term the law. Whenever it uses that term, it's talking about the old covenant law, right? We've looked at the term, the way the Lord uses the term law, and we found something that's unusual to a lot of people, that the law covers almost all or all of the Old Testament, not just what people call the law. When Jesus said, "Is it not written in your law?" He quoted Psalm 82. You know, all that people wouldn't consider that God would consider that the law, but it is. So there is a broader use of the word the law in the Scriptures than just what Moses received with the Ten Commandments. You know? So, but the term the law is used in the Scripture in other places where the word the is not used there. And there's a purpose in that. Okay, let me read on. What I've read to you so far, when it says the law, it's there in the original Greek. The law is there. Because he's talking about the old covenant. Right? He said that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be brought under the judgment of God. You know, what was the purpose of the law? Well, basically it was to prove that man's a sinner and that God's people have failed him. You know, the revelation of sin came through the law, didn't it? Okay. But now verse 20, it says, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Now, here's what I want to tell you. The word the works of the law is not there. These are not in this in the original Greek. It says, because by works of law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why does it say that? Well, whenever God is really specifically pointing out the law, it always says the law. But when he's just talking about law, which is much broader than the law, in the original, it didn't have a the there. And this is quite often, you know, in Romans and Galatians, and it's quite often in the Scriptures. In this place, there was no these there. It is, because by works of law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You see, some people think when it says the law, that it's just talking about, okay, I'm not keeping the Old Testament, so I don't have to worry about it. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a much broader law. You know, there are the works of the law, and there are works of man's laws, and there are religious laws, and there are laws, you know. What he's saying is the relationship with God that he has given in the Old Testament is not the one he wants you to have in the New Testament. You're not justified by law. You're not justified by yourself keeping some law so that you can be justified. That's all backwards in the New Testament. Okay? So when he says works of law, he's talking about you in your efforts trying to keep laws, rules, regulations, whatever, they want and they feel that they are accepted by God. But this is not legal. It will never work. Many people are attempting to do things that they will fail in because God cannot accept that in our covenant. He will not accept that form of justification in our covenant. You know, I'm going to read to you what it says in Titus. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. He said, not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves. Works done in righteousness are good, are they not? True. But you're not going to be justified by those. You're not going to be accounted righteous by those. Because we're not going to be justified by works. And basically, let me explain works. There's two kinds of works. Ephesians 2 and 8 speaks of, by grace have you been saved through faith. By grace have you been saved through faith. Grace is unmerited, unearned favor of God. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to get it. Okay? By grace have you been saved. Notice this, you've already been saved, so you don't need to gain this. You need to accept it as a free gift. By grace have you been saved through faith. Your faith is what gives you this gift, which comes at you from behind you, not in front of you. It comes at you from the cross, you see. This gift is given from the cross. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. A gift. You don't pay for a gift. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, of course, works that a man would do in order to receive justification or relationship with God is illegal. It won't work. He will not give you the benefit for that. Okay? Not of works, lest any man should boast, for in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? Well, you have to get there by faith. You accept what the Lord says about you. See, in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. So there is a good works. But notice, the works that come before faith are illegal. The works that come after faith are God's works. You have to remember that. See, because many people are not really believing that they have received justification through what Jesus already did. They're attempting to please God so that He would give them the desired benefit. That's doomed to fail. Will not accept our self-righteousness as a sacrifice. It has to be His righteousness. His righteousness doesn't come through works. His righteousness comes by grace through faith. It's the only way. Okay? So, having explained that, let me go back and read a little bit more here. He said, by works of law shall no flesh be justified, which means accounted righteous in His sight. For through law, the law is not numeric. There's no numeric pattern in it. It's not in the original Greek. So, through law is the knowledge of sin. Through law, see, that's what law is. It gives you a revelation of what sin is. But it doesn't give you the power to obey. And neither did the Old Covenant give you the power to obey. And we get the power in the New Testament because we're first of all justified through faith in what Jesus did. That's where the power comes from. See, many people are eagerly trying to please God, but all of these works, if they come before faith, are just man's works attempting to earn their way to heaven, earn their way into the presence of God. It won't work. And many people who feel condemned, they don't realize that the devil is putting them in a trap whereby they think, I've got to do better before God will accept me. Or they got a spirit of rejection. You know what rejection is, right? You feel like you've been rejected by God because of your actions. Many people inherit, this is one of the nastiest spirits out there, and most common, I think, is the spirit of rejection. Many people inherit it from their parents, or their parents put it in them by their actions toward them, or whoever raised you. You know, if a person is, even though well-meaning, constantly correcting you, and there's no love there, then after a while you end up with this spirit of rejection. You feel like they're rejecting you. And then when people correct you for the rest of your life, you feel painful because you feel like they are rejecting you. Not every obviously, we know that when people correct you, sometimes they're not rejecting you. They're just trying to do you a favor. But if, you know, as a child, if a person's overcorrected and underloved, they usually end up with this spirit. Or you could have a husband walked off and left you or something like that. A spirit of rejection can come into a person like that, you know. Rejected by family for some reason, you know. spirits of rejection come in people. And the problem is, it's a very bad trap, because people that get the spirit of rejection generally view any kind of correction as rejection. And so they avoid it like the plague. They avoid correction like the plague. Now, that's a dangerous situation to be in. I believe Esau had a spirit of rejection. I believe it led to him selling his birthright, having a root of bitterness, so on and so forth. And his seed, obviously, have inherited his problem. And many Christians are maybe in the same situation. You know, this is something you need to get delivered of if you got it. And I'm trying to help you on this, to understand that the devil is trying to trick you into seeking the pleasure of God through being good enough. And we all want to be better. But the question is the method. And the relationship. The relationship cannot be a law relationship. It has to be a grace relationship, or it is not acceptable to the Lord. Let me go back and read Romans 2 and 20 again. It says, because by works of law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for through law is the knowledge of sin. Okay. But now, apart from law, again, the word "thee" is not there. Apart from law, a righteousness of God. In other words, not using the method of law. Method of law is, okay, I'm going to correct someone, therefore they ought to have sense enough to know they need to obey. You know, God is not using that method. Here's the method he's using. Okay. Now, apart from law, any kind of law, not just the law of the Old Testament, rules and regulations, anything you think you need to do in order to please God. You may not even be thinking about the law of the Old Testament. You just think, I have to do this in order to have God's pleasure, to please God. And if I don't do that, well, he's not going to give me the benefit of the kingdom and accept me, and so on and so forth. Okay? Now, apart from law, a righteousness of God hath been manifested, being witnessed by the law. Now, the word "the" is here. It's in this one. The law and the prophets. In the original, in the numerics, there is the word "the law." So now he's talking about the Old Testament law. Okay. But this other form of righteousness, notice, is being witnessed by the law. The law predicted this was coming. Let me say a few things. By the works of law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. If we look in Galatians in chapter 2, let me read a little bit there and then I'll come back over here, okay? Galatians chapter 2, I'm going to read verse. Yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law. There's no "thee" there in the original. It's not numeric, has no numeric pattern, and it's not in the original. A man is not justified by the works of law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. This is where our justification comes. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in what he did. We believe in what he sacrificed. This is the foundation of our justification, or our being accounted righteous by God. Not any kind of self-effort whatsoever. This is the foundation of it right here. Even we believed on Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of law. Again, the works, the law was not there. Okay? The in front of works and the in front of law was not in the original. But works of law. In other words, you know, the law relationship is this. This is what God wants you to do. Now, whether you get that from the Old Testament law, church laws, circumstances around you, you just know your conscience tells you this is what you need to do, that's what you need to do, whatever. You know, This is the law of relationship. You know what you need to do, and you must do it. Okay? Well, you're not going to be justified if you don't do it, is your thinking. But you have to remember, the foundation for justification isn't about what you do, it's about what God did. What God did was, He saved you through Jesus Christ. He delivered you through Jesus Christ. He made reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your sacrifice. He bore your sin. He bore your obstinacy. He bore your unbelief. He bore your rebellion. He took all of that, and you believe it. And therefore, since you believe it, Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. See, justification comes through the faith. Believe you received them. But then you get the answer. See, God wants to give you freely the ability to walk in His way. This is not something you can earn. It's not you can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps. As I've said so many times before, you are what you are, and you're going to do what you are unless somebody reaches in and changes you from what you are to something else. That's what God will do. God's plan is to change you freely by what He calls in Romans a gift of righteousness. A gift of righteousness. So He wants to give you this freely because of your faith. Whereas you could spend your whole lifetime trying to earn it by your efforts, like the relationship of the law was, and you will fail. You will never arrive at the destination. This is the problem. Okay? And the trap is, of course, for the people who have felt condemned and feel the only way out is to be pleasing unto God. They try, and fail. Because God doesn't cooperate with that anymore. He will not cooperate with that relationship, that wrong relationship with God. The law was just a meantime thing, the Bible says, until the seed should come to whom the promise is due. And all of you Christians out there that are going back under the law, I don't care what it is, you're seeking to be justified by the law, you are separated from Christ because of that. In any point, as we're going to read a little bit further down here, you're separated from Christ. You're separated from grace, he says, okay, because of that. That's a wrong relationship. You will not arrive at your destination that way. So if while we seek to be justified or accounted righteous in Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is Christ a minister of sin? No. But unless you let Him minister to you grace, and unless if you're receiving law instead, even while you read the New Testament, even while you go to church, maybe you have a preacher that very legalistically tries to condemn you into changing. Or maybe you've had a mate that does the same thing, tries to condemn you into changing. That's not how you get someone to change, folks. You have to put faith in their heart. Condemnation is not the way to change a person. A lot of people don't realize that. What that does is put somebody under the law. And they try to do better. They make New Year's resolutions. And all kinds of such goofy things as that. No, the way is for God to change your heart. And God will not do it unless you're justified. And you're not justified unless you exercise faith. That's the chain. Faith brings justification, which is accounted righteous, and accounted righteous brings you the free gift of God's grace to change. See? I know I've explained these things before, but I can tell you they haven't sunk in with some people. And that are in need to understand this. Okay, you have to get first things first. You don't push a wagon with a horse. You pull it with a horse, right? Verse 17. But if while we sought to be justified in Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, as Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build up again those things which I destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through law, the was not there. For I, through law, died to law, that I might live unto God. You have to die to law. You have to come out of that. Listen, I want to tell you something, you Christians out there, especially you Gentile Christians, God never made the law with you. You don't have to figure out what kind of law to go back under, because God never made the law with you. He refused to do that. He made that law with the Jews. So when you go back under something that you were never under, you have to depart from a covenant that God made with you in order to go under a covenant that God never made with you. So that's why he's warning in the book of Galatians, don't do this. If you're still a lawbreaker because God didn't make that covenant with you, he made this covenant with you. See? And you're rebelling against his covenant because you want to be self-justified. He calls that filthy rags. People want to do something to say we're God's special people because we tithe, or we keep the Sabbath, or we, you know, something. Or we speak in tongues, or, you know, something. They want to justify themselves because of something that they've done. When, if you really stop and think about it, we haven't done anything. And if we've done it, then it's us. It's not the Holy Spirit. If God's done it, then how can we take credit for it? And if it's grace, God did it. You didn't. Right? So how can we take credit for it? Many Christians love to take credit for things. Well, if it's grace, you didn't do it. He did it. He just used you to do it. He gave you the grace to do it because you believed him. And if you're doing it by self-respect, you don't get any reward for that. That's self-righteousness. That's not God's righteousness. There's a difference. Self-righteousness comes through law. God's righteousness comes through grace. So you can go back under the law, Christian, but God never made the law with you. He refused to do that. And you're putting yourself under a covenant that does not exist. The Bible says it passed away in Christ in order to rebel against a covenant that God made with you. Now that doesn't make sense, does it? So the devil attempts in very sly ways to trap us into this without us really understanding that we're going under law. Not necessarily the law, we're going under law. He tries to do that. He uses condemnation. He uses rejection. First of all, our Father is a very good Father. You know, he loves us. He gives us grace. You know, our first fathers may not have done that. They may not have raised us correctly. They may have, you know, in their ignorance, not known how to raise children, treat them. Besides the fact that you have inherited from your father his very nature, which you have to overcome the whole time you're in Christ Jesus, right? So we have that twofold curse that we can overcome because Jesus bore that curse for us. But you can make New Year's resolutions all you want. You will fail, especially after you become a Christian. Especially after you become a Christian, because now God's not going to let you succeed. Not only now is your flesh against you, God is against you, because he don't want you to be self-righteous, and he doesn't want you to succeed in attempting to buy your salvation or buy a position with God. He will not permit it. So we have to die unto the law, or unto law, okay, any kind of law. I have been crucified with Christ. That's the I, that's the old man here. It's been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. That's faith. Now, God can do something with that. But New Year's resolutions, he ain't going to do nothing with that. Okay? Or any other kind of self-willed, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. I'll do better tomorrow, Lord. I'm sorry, forgive me, but I'll do better. You should say, if the Lord wills, you know, or by his grace, I will do better. Don't brag about what you're going to do. All such glorying is evil, the Bible says. Don't tell God what you're going to do. Say, by your grace, Lord, I will do this or do that. Or if you will, I will do this or do that. But I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He said, all such glorying is evil, James said. He said, who are you? You're just a breath. You're here today, gone tomorrow. You got no power to be righteous without God. The power of righteousness comes from Him. He gives it as a free gift only. He will only give it as a free gift. And He gives it to those who are justified by faith. That's the only people He gives it to. So if you, some of you may be gaining some understanding of why you're failing, or why you're not growing, or why in that legalistic church you're getting worse instead of better. They're trying to change you by law, even if it's man's law, not God's law. They're trying to change you by law. And God won't permit it. You will have no success. So, Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. This is the life that we now live, is our faith in Him. I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness is through law, there's no thee there, it's just law, okay? Then Christ died for naught. Well, that's true. I mean, if you could be good enough without grace, then you wouldn't need Jesus to have died in the first place. You could have gone back under the old covenant. But actually, they were not justified. They, you know, Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. What do you think He preached to them? Well, He preached the new covenant to them. Because there's no way for you to enter the kingdom otherwise. The law does not make perfect. The law was a meantime thing, the Bible says in Galatians 3, until the seed should come to whom the promise was due. And the seed was what? Was who? Jesus Christ. And He's the only one. He's the only one. The promise was due to Him. He's the only one. The only way you get it is if you abide in Him. That's the only way you get it. Some people say, well, Jesus gave me eternal life. No, the Bible says that He hath given unto us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you bear fruit. If you don't, you're broken off, thrown in the fire. See, the only place you can have life is abiding in Christ, and the only way you can get there is by faith. God will not accept legalism in any form. There will be no success. And He says, O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified? This only would I learn from you. Received you the Spirit by the works of law, not the law, just law, or by the hearing of faith? See the... Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you are now perfected in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if it be indeed in vain? He therefore that supplieth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of law? No thee there. Or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. It has to be reckoned unto us for righteousness. And it has to be because of our faith. And no matter how much you fail God, as we saw back in Romans chapter 3, everybody has totally failed God. So no matter how much you fail God, you still have to have faith. So give up trying to earn it. It's not going to happen. You have to exercise faith. And you can do it because you're justified by faith. You're not justified by works. Therefore, don't feel condemned for all of your failure. It came natural to you. You know, it just came natural to you. You inherited failure. You didn't inherit anything else but failure. It came natural to you. God expected it of you. Okay, so how can we get anything else? Well, forget about what you were and think about what you are. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. Right? Think about what you are. Forget about what you were. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right? Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget about who you were. Forget about what you failed. Forget about it. You're wasting God's time. See? And you're wasting your time. And you've got precious little of it left to bear fruit. So let's get with the faith. You know, don't think you can't have faith. Jesus gave you His faith. He took away your unbelief. He gave you His faith. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me, right? You just read it. Galatians 2 and 20. And if Christ lives in you, He's got plenty of faith. So accept His faith. Accept His gift. Begin to confess it. Begin to believe what He says, right? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. The only way you can be a son of Abraham is to walk by faith. Believing you have something that you don't necessarily experience or see or feel. You have it simply on the grounds that God says so. And He says you're righteous when you say the same. When you confess Him before men. Confess means to speak the same. Speak the same as, right? Know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they that are of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of law, not the law, but law, are under a curse. And everything you do to try to earn anything from God is under a curse. Because the simple fact remains that you're still doing it out of your flesh. And just how much do you think the flesh is going to crucify the flesh? You know, even if you win, you're proud about it. You know, so you can't win. If the flesh is going to overcome the flesh, you cannot win. There's no way you can win. You're so proud, you're humble, right? So, see, it's an oxymoron. It's an impossible situation. It cannot happen. Okay. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. This is literally the word the law here, to do them. So you'd have to keep the whole law, and that's never been done. You know, even Jesus, you know, came through grace, you know. He came with a whole totally different relationship with the Father that He was leading us into, right? So you'd have to keep the whole law, and that's never been done, so it's impossible. And first of all, you were held accountable to the law even if you didn't know it was written there. Did you understand that? You need to go back and read Leviticus chapter 5. That's how bad the law was. But we got a better covenant based on better promises. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin in the New Testament. So you have to know it's sin first in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it didn't matter whether you knew it or not. If you broke the law and you found out about it later, you better go make a sacrifice. Well, our sacrifice has already been made. Jesus Christ. It's already been made, so we thank God for that. And it means so much more than the Old Testament sacrifice. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. So you can't be justified by anything you can accomplish in the flesh. Even if you seem to be having success. I remember my dad. You know, he smoked for 50-something years. And the doctor told him, well, Mr. Eels, you're going to die if you don't quit smoking. So he just quit it cold turkey. You know, the flesh can lay down things. But the Bible calls it self-righteousness. It's righteousness that comes from self. And it has no value in the kingdom whatsoever. It has no value. There's no fruit. You can be very self-righteous. You can have all the righteousness of self and be a very good person in the world, but has no value in the kingdom whatsoever. Won't get you in the kingdom. Won't get your toe in the door. So we have to have this righteousness that comes freely from God by faith.
Right.
The righteous shall live by faith. And the law is not a faith. It is a totally different relationship. The law is not a faith. He that doeth them shall live in them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So He did it for us. We don't have to obey the law to be right before God. We have to fulfill the law. That's different. There's a difference between obeying the law and fulfilling the law. You know how we fulfill the law? We walk by faith in Jesus Christ. He gives us the grace to be what we're not, and we fulfill the law. The only way to fulfill the law is through faith. If you go back under the law to keep the law, you cannot fulfill the law because you're not ceasing from your works. Do you know that the person who keeps the Sabbath in the New Testament, I'm talking about the Old Testament Sabbath in the New Testament, the person that keeps that Sabbath is breaking the law because they're not ceasing from their works, the works of the law. But when you keep the New Testament Sabbatismos, mentioned in Hebrews chapter 3, which is a continual rest, you cease from any kind of works of the law to seek to be justified. You have to do that. Any kind of works of the law that you seek to be justified, He just got through telling you, back in verse 10, you got to keep the whole rest of the law. The whole thing. Anything you do to try to seek to be justified by the law, you have to keep the whole thing. In other words, it's impossible. So why are you wasting God's time and yours, right? So you can be seeking to keep the Sabbath, but you're breaking the New Testament Sabbath because you're not ceasing from your works. The Sabbath was a symbol for the New Testament people to cease from their works and enter into the rest. In other words, you don't have to worry about healing yourself. You don't have to worry about getting rid of your sin. You don't have to worry about all these things. All you got to do is believe in God, and He will put it in you, and you will fulfill it naturally. Ceasing from your works is something that comes natural from God. Okay? But you can't do it by your self-efforts. People try. You know, if you're going to keep the Sabbath, keep the whole Sabbath. You know, the seventh year, the seventh day, all the... You know, they're not keeping the Sabbath. They're lying to you. They're not keeping the Sabbath. Go back and read about the Sabbath. It's very big, very intricate, we got a better covenant based on better promises. And Jesus became cursed for us so that we could have the blessing of Abraham, which comes to who? I'm quoting here verse 13 and 14, which comes to those who walk by faith. That's what we just got through reading. And a little further down, He tells us what I just told you a while ago. The inheritance is not of law. Otherwise, it's not of promise. Okay, and that the law was only a meantime thing. It never was meant to last. It only came because of sin until the seed should come to whom the promise is due. And He tells you here that the seed is just one, Jesus Christ. Okay. So, and let me read a little bit over in chapter 5. It says, "For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage," which He's talking about the law. No matter what you consider, circumcision, tithing, Sabbath, you know, feast days, forget it. Those were all symbols. A shadow. The Bible says that the Sabbath was a shadow of the things to come. Right? Colossians. So you're going to keep the shadow or you're going to keep the real thing, right? "For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing." You can put anything else there. You can put the tithe, you can put the Sabbath, you can put any other justification through the law. The law meaning the Old Testament law. Okay? Especially when you don't find it in the New Testament. Period. You know, God made a covenant with you. If it's in the New Testament, okay. How will you fulfill it? You'll fulfill it by faith, because He will give you grace to do it. So don't forget the faith. If you forget that, and you get out there in your self-effort to try to please God, it's not going to work. Okay. Don't let the devil condemn you into doing something that's not in your covenant. Okay. Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again unto every man that receiveth circumcision. He's a debtor to do the whole law. You're severed from Christ. You would be justified by law. The thee is not there. Justified by law. You're fallen away from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, wait for the hope of righteousness. Where's it coming from? It's coming from God. It's coming from God as a free gift. It's the only way you'll ever get it. It's a free gift. You cannot earn it. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? You know, they were falling back under the law. And obviously this is a dangerous thing. Why would Paul spend so much time in Romans and Galatians in particular, Colossians 2, to warn us about this? And yet people ignore all this. You know, they ignore it. You don't understand. You can spend your whole life in religion and split hell wide open. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. Don't trust men. Go study for yourself. Find out these things that God wants to show you. They're so very important. Now I need to go back to Romans chapter 3. Because we said a lot here. And I'd like to finish what he says there in Romans 3. He says, verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. The righteousness of God is given to all them that believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And of course, if you're under law, I don't say the law, but if you're under law, then you're seeking to please God in order to feel that you are justified by Him. Well, again, you're pushing the cart with the horse. You know, go back to faith. There is no grace from God without faith. Faith is your access into grace. Chapter 5 and verse 2. Through whom we also have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So there's no access to grace, which is God's favor, to do and be whatever you need to do and be. And there's no access without faith. And faith is, of course, manifested in different ways. You know, one thing is written right in chapter 3 and verse 4 here. It says, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy words. See, let's let God be true, and every man a liar. We need to be justified in what we say. So when we say something, let's agree with God. Let's not add to or take away from anything that He says, right? And it says that thou mayest be justified in thy words and might prevail when thou comest into judgment. Many people are not prevailing in judgment. It is conquering them. They're being stepped on. And they wonder why. I'm trying to be good, God. That's the problem. Your thinking is wrong. What hope has man got to be a son of God? You know, the Son of God is born from heaven. He's in the likeness of God, in the likeness of Jesus Christ. There is no hope for man to be God. The only thing you can do is be born of God, is to believe Him. To be born of God is to receive His seed, His nature, His likeness. You know, and it is for you to believe Him. That's the only hope. And verse 24. being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes. Justified freely by His grace. It's a free gift. It has nothing to do with all of your failures. He just got through mentioning all of the failures. And yet He still says, justified freely by His grace. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation, which means a covering, through faith in His blood. So this is it. The blood of Jesus was sacrificed, poured out for us. And this is where our justification comes from. The blood of Jesus stands opposed to the blood of our parents. The blood of our parents, the life of the flesh is in the blood. What was passed on to us from our parents is that human blood that caused us to be sinners. You know, their failures, their sins were passed on unto us through the blood. And now, through the blood of Jesus, His Son, who's overcome sin, we have inherited His righteousness. But our faith in Him causes the blood to be applied. And it is to show His righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. You want God to pass over the sins that you've done beforetime. Well, there's only one way. Justification through faith in the blood of Jesus. Right? In other words, you forgive of all that, but you've got to walk by faith. And some of you will say, well, I don't think I can have faith because I feel condemned. Well, you're condemned because you think you could have done better, and you couldn't because you're a sinner. You did what you were. See, think about the nature of condemnation. The nature of condemnation is, I should have done better. Well, what's going to make you better? Faith. Well, if I'm condemned, I can't have faith. Yeah, that's right. So what is God telling you? Get rid of the condemnation. You need faith. You can't have them both at the same time. So get rid of the condemnation, because it doesn't matter if you think you could have done better or not. That's usually a deception, because you never can. Because you're trying through the works of law. You're not trying through the grace of God. So this is a totally different relationship to God. Okay? So, God passed over, because of our faith in the blood of Jesus, He passed over all of our sins that we did before. So why are you condemned for these? There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, Paul said. Why are you worrying about condemning yourself for these things? Don't waste any time there. Repent of them. Confess them to God. Turn and walk by faith. Because when you do that, you're forgiven of those things that you did before time. Right? Okay. And there's no other way than abiding in faith to have this imputed righteousness. I'm going to read to you Colossians chapter 1, verse 21-23. It says, "And you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind and your evil works." Is this what's bothering you? Well, notice, you being in time past in this situation. "Yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death." So He's taking care of it. "To present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before Him, if," you need to circle that, "if so be that you continue in the faith." See, there's no other way to be blemishless and unreprovable before Him unless you walk by faith. Because let me tell you something, God is sitting on His throne and He can see everything about you. And He knows things you don't even know about yourself. And there's no way to be justified before Him. There's no way to be justified before Him except through faith. "Grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel." See, so you have to abide in that faith not being moved away from the good news that Jesus bore your curse, bore your sin, and you are forgiven, and He's given you His life. Okay? So don't be moved away from that, because then you're not justified anymore. You're not unreprovable. You're not blemishless. Notice what he's saying. It's very plain. You can walk out from under the blood. Okay? And the thing that keeps you under the blood until God is through with you, till He's cleansed you, because He uses the blood to cleanse you, right? The thing that keeps you under that is your faith. So don't let the devil move you away from your faith. If so be that you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, not moved away from the hope or the firm expectation, which is what hope means, the Greek word, of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven. So there it is, very, very plain. You want to continue in the faith. Don't let the devil condemn you back under law. A different relationship with God altogether. Right? So let's go back to Romans chapter 3 again and read some more. Verse 26. For the showing, I say, of His righteousness at this present season, that He might Himself be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. So God calls it righteous if He justifies you when you have faith in Jesus. He considers Himself to be righteous to justify you when you have faith in Jesus. Not when you've been perfect, but when you have faith in Jesus. Verse 27. Where then is the glorying? See, now, what do you got to brag about? You know, if you get salvation freely given to you by God because you have faith in Him, what do you got to brag about? See, this is the whole point. The Lord does not want us to have anything to brag about. He wants it to be by grace, right? Which is what? Unmerited, unearned favor, right? He will not permit anything else. You need to remember that about God. If you want to please God, you have to remember that. Where then is the glorying? It is excluded. Yeah, under grace, glorying is excluded. You've got nothing to brag about. By what manner of law? Of works? Nay, but by a law of faith. Yeah, it is. Faith is like the law of gravity. If you have faith, you will get results. I've had people tell me, well, I tried faith and it didn't get... No, you did not. No, you are a liar. God is the one that tells. Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? I've had many people tell me, well, I tried faith and it didn't work. No. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Who are we going to believe? You or Jesus? You know? Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Well, I tried it and it didn't work. Well, you might have tried it, but you didn't do it. Okay? Because if you did it, it would work. And that's what the Lord says. By a law of faith. You know, we consider gravity a law. You throw something up, it falls down. You know? And so there's a law of faith, too. It works. It works in the spirit realm just like the natural laws work in the natural realm, right? 28. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of law. Apart from your works. He is giving you justification apart from your works of seeking to be well-pleasing unto Him. If you don't get that, you don't have the foundation. Now, that's not where it ends up. That's just the foundation. You don't have the foundation. If you don't have the foundation, you can't build on it. You can't build a house from the top down. You have to have the foundation first. You don't have the foundation. Listen, there's two kinds of works, right? We discovered that. By grace, have you been saved through faith? That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. That's your works. Lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. So God has to finish His creation for you to be able to do the good works. You see? And that's the whole point. God is building this house. It is our faith that causes God to do this. It's a faith, a gift that He gives unto us. It's causing Him to do this, right? Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yea, of Gentiles also. If so be that God is one, and he shall justify the circumcision by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. Hallelujah. He will justify us through faith. Do we then make law of none effect? Again, it's not the law, it's just law. Do we then make law of none effect through faith? God forbid. Nay, we establish law. And there's not the, it's just law. So, we establish the law through faith, not self-effort. That's law. Self-effort is law. The law was given to man. God said, do it or else. And they said, yes, sir. They tried. They failed. And what did he prove to them? Well, if I tell you what you need to do, your old nature will not permit you to do it because you're a sinner. You need a Savior. And so, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son to be the Savior. And what revelation should you have gotten about the Old Testament law? Was that if man is given what God wants him to do, he will miserably fail because he is, by nature, a sinner. Okay. So, should you go back under that since it miserably failed? No, you shouldn't go back under that. God's got a better method. And it's the only method that works in our covenant. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, hath found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. In other words, you could brag if you did it. If God told you what to do and you did it, you could brag. But not towards God. For what saith the Scriptures? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. In other words, if you could earn it, well then God would owe it to you. But he's not going to be beholden to anybody. He's not going to owe you anything, period. It's all going to be grace. Or you're not going, you see. All this self-effort stuff has got to stop. You're going to be justified by faith. You're going to receive his grace because of that faith, and that grace is enough to make you overcome any sin. I'm sorry for the people that say that you're always going to be a sinner. They don't know God's method. They haven't read the gospel. They don't believe the word of God. See? Because God himself is the one that takes away your sins. The Lamb of God who taketh away the sin, not just covered them up. There is a covering, but the covering is only a means to the cleansing. This is what they don't... If you don't get beyond the covering, you haven't left the Old Testament. They had the covering. You've never come into the New Testament yet. The covering comes before the cleansing. And all of this is going to come because Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He took away your sin. Believe it, and it will happen. Don't believe it, and it won't happen. Try to earn it, you'll fail. Okay? So, he says, now to him that worketh, or self-effort, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Think about that now. God is justifying or accounting righteous somebody who is not. Because faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence isn't even seen yet. You see? Wow, that's awesome. Let me read that again. But to him that worketh not, in other words, they don't try to earn it, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Meaning God recognizes you as righteous before you've overcome the sin. Did you see that? Before you've overcome the sin. Because you believe. So you're saying, well, because I'm a sinner, I can't get anything from God. No, you got it backwards. Because you're a saint, you get everything from God. Because you believe that you were crucified with Christ, you don't live anymore, Christ now lives in you. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. That's what the command is. Romans chapter 6. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Consider it done. And then what? Even while you're still failing, God will justify you. And since He justifies you, He can now give you grace. You have to be justified before you can get grace. So, He justifies you while you're still sinning because you believe. And now you can get grace, which is God's favor, to cause you to be an overcomer. And of course, that's the result we want, right? Even as David also pronounced blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works. In other words, he's looking at all the failures that David did, and yet he's reckoning him as righteous. You know, we're not going to fail. We're not going to miss God because of our failures. If anybody misses God, it'll be because of a lack of faith. But it's not going to be because of their failures. Paul spoke about the failures in Romans chapter 7. So he reckons righteousness apart from works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Who is this man that he will not reckon sin to? It's the man that's believing that Jesus Christ already took away their sins. And that is the substance of the thing hoped for while there's no evidence seen. He's got no evidence that he's righteous, but God is accounting him as righteous. He's got no evidence that he's delivered from the sin, but he believes Jesus delivered him from the sin. And that's the substance of the thing hoped for. See? Oh, hallelujah. And we know the Apostle Paul tells us very plainly in Romans chapter 7 the same thing. He says in verse 15, he says, for that which I do, I know not. For not what I would, that do I practice. That's kind of a tongue tangler, isn't it? But basically saying, the good things I want to do, I don't do, and the evil things which I don't want to do, I do. For what I hate, that I do. But if what I would not, that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good. So you're saying, well, the law is right, and I'm wrong, and I'm hating doing this wrong. Well, who's going to save me from this? Well, he's getting ready to tell you that. So now, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. So here it is. God says, okay, you're not sinning, but that old man in you is. That old sin in you is. Okay? And why does he separate you from the old man? Well, because you don't want to do this. Here's what he's saying. Okay, you're sinning. You don't like to sin. You want to please God. And you know what he says? Okay, it's not you then. It's the sin in you. I'm against the sin in you. You, I'll save. Okay. See what he's saying? Now, if you're willfully sinning, that doesn't fit this at all. If you sin willfully after you receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin. So, if you're willfully sinning, you're premeditatedly sinning, you're doing it because of self-will, even if you think, well, I'll just confess it later and God will forgive me. Oh, no, 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 that's wrong. He will spank you. That's what he will do. He will spank you. You will not get out of it either. And he does it consistently. If you sin willfully, he said, if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain, fearful expectation of judgment. That's what he says. You're going to get a spanking. And you're not going to like it. So if you're failing God, and you don't like this sin, and you're trying to resist it, God said, okay, it's not you, it's the sin in you that's doing this. I'm against the sin. You can go free. But on one condition. You got to believe. Okay, so let's read on. But if what I would do, that I do, excuse me. For if what I would not, that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good. So now, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do which is good is not. In other words, I have a desire to please God, but I'm failing. For the good which I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I practice. But if what I would not, that I do, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. I find then the law that to me who would do good, evil is present. But I delight in the law of God. You know what the law of God is? The law of God is not the old covenant, folks. The law of God is what Paul spoke about in Romans 8. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. You know what the old covenant was? The law of sin and of death. The law of God is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So if you want to delight after something, don't delight after the law of sin and death. Delight after the law of God. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he got the revelation. This is the only way out of this trap. Failure begets failure begets failure. The only way out of this trap is you have to put faith in God. He has delivered you already at the cross. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer, be happy, God says. I've already overcome the world. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, the Bible says. So then, I of myself with the mind indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The solution, of course, is there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. See, because it's not you that's doing it, it's the sin that dwells in you. Now you people out there that are walking in willful sin, if you want to use this to justify yourself so you can continue to walk in sin, well, you'll just do it. But the truth is that you're like an ostrich sticking your head in the sand. God sees it. He knows your heart. He knows that you're attempting to twist the Scripture to let your old man live in sin. No, that's not the whole point. The whole point behind this is we can go to God by faith. He will account us as righteous by that faith. Because we're accounted righteous, He gives us grace. And grace is the power to overcome sin. That's how we get delivered. It's not going to be because of our efforts. And God will even let us struggle to find this out. He will let us attempt it to have failure. Because this is lesson number one. You cannot be good. God can be good through you. He can give you the gift to be good, but you cannot be good. And you have to get that lesson number one. You have to know that. Okay. In other words, by your self-efforts, you cannot have the righteousness of God. You can have self-righteousness, but that won't get you into heaven. Because that is very dull compared to the brightness of the glory of Jesus Christ, right? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, from the law of sin, you were made free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How do you get into Christ Jesus? By faith in the blood. By faith in the blood. That's what puts you in Christ. This is what gives you the victory over the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. See, the power of the law was your own flesh. In other words, God said, okay, do it. Just do it. Prove to me you can do it. And of course, they proved to themselves that they could not do it. Okay, so it's weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, so that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. How do we walk after the Spirit? We walk by faith. Oh, hallelujah. Now, it doesn't stop there. Of course, James is the other part of the story. I told you there's two forms of works, right? And God's works come after faith. Your works come before faith. In other words, if you're not using any faith, you're just using works, that's your works. If you're walking by faith in God and you find His works welling up in you, His ability welling up in you, His natural ability to overcome sin, because now you're receiving His blood rather than your old parents' blood, right? Well, that's the righteousness that comes from God freely, by grace. And, you know, he said, we're running out of time here, so I'm going to go real fast here. It's in verse 14, James 2:14, he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he have not works?" What kind of works is he talking about here? God's works. Some people want to rip James out of the Bible. They're like, "Well, I don't have to do anything to be saved." Well, there are you do have to have God's works, but God's works are given to you by grace, which you get because of your faith, right? So, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he have not works? Can that faith save him? Well, no. If you've got faith, you're going to get God's works. Not your works, God's works. Okay. If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, "Go in peace, and be warmed and filled," and yet you give them not the things needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. See, faith is going to be followed by God's works because you get grace for faith. But if it's your works seeking to be justified by God, you will always fail. You will never grow in the Lord. In fact, you'll get worse because you will give up. You will throw up your hands and say, "What's the use?" And you'll go back out there in the world. People under legalism don't last there long. They get frustrated. They get angry. They even blame God. And they end up back out in the world. The world is full of people that once came to Jesus. It's frustrating. It's failure because God will give you no help in that process. Okay? It has to be His works given to you freely because of your faith. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. Yea, a man will say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I, by my works, will show thee my faith." You see, the Lord is coming, according to Revelation 3, and I believe it's 23, to judge every man according to his works, not his faith. In other words, God can look at your works and tell whether you've got faith. And if you've got the works of God, you couldn't have gotten them anywhere else than from faith. The proof that you've got faith is that you've got the works of God. When you look at somebody who's righteous, living righteous, not just constraining themselves, you know, like an alcoholic who is staying away from the booze, right? Not just constraining themselves, bare knuckle, you know what I'm talking about? But somebody, it's just coming natural to them, the righteousness of God coming out. Listen, they didn't get that from just nowhere. That came from faith. Because God gave that to them as a gift of nature, because of their faith, right? So he says, "I, by my works, will show thee my faith." The Lord is coming back to judge the people who have faith because He can see their works. And He's coming back to judge the people who have not faith because He can't see their works. See, He's going to judge, I'm talking about righteous works, God's works, right? "Thou believest that God is one, thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren?" Unfruitful is the word. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by faith And by works was faith made perfect. Praise be to God. And that's where I'm going to end it today. So pray and ask God to deliver you from those spirits of rejection, fear, condemnation, those things that seek to drag you out of a relationship with God where you will not be able to exercise your faith towards God. And, you know, God will deliver you from these things. Believe Him to do it, okay? Well, let me pray another prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know there are people out there that have lived under condemnation. It is so miserable. They've lived under rejection, the feeling that they are rejected by God because of what they've done, not realizing that they could freely be justified by God through faith in Jesus, Lord. Help them to realize that now. And Father, we take Your authority. We speak this word. We pray that anyone out there who wants to be delivered of these things will accept this word and act upon it themselves. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over those spirits of rejection. In the name of Jesus, we command You to loose God's people. And fear of rejection, we command You to loose God's people. People who are manipulated by the devil because of their fear of rejection. Their fear of rejection by man causes them to be in bondage. Rejection, you go in Jesus' name. Condemnation, you go in Jesus' name. Father, we ask You to wash and cleanse and deliver Your people who today exercise their faith towards You and the deliverance that Jesus gave them, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and into the Son of His love. And Lord, we ask that the people who are exercising faith today, that they be delivered of fear, condemnation, of rejection, of fear of rejection, those things that are causing them to have a wrong relationship with God. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus, right now, that Your Spirit move on them and deliver their hearts. You know, whoever you are, Jesus said, everything that you pray and ask for, you believe you received it because you did at the cross. You received it at the cross. Everything that you can ask from God, you received at the cross. Believe you received it and you shall have it. Believe you received it. Believe with your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord over this sin, that you were delivered of this sin. Believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth, and you're going to have it. It's that simple. I know people that have, you know, sought the country over for somebody that could deliver them, you know. Well, nobody can deliver you if you're not going to walk by faith, you know. So believe it and receive it now. It's that simple. Father, we thank You for this miracle. We thank You for Your moving power in the hearts and lives of the people that are listening today and those that are whose heart is towards You and His faith is towards You. Lord, we know that You will honor that. We know that You will justify them. We know that You will fulfill every desire of goodness in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.